start from over here. Paraclub days. The last thing that we did over here is, well, there was a lot. We had a plague because David Melech had counted the people and it was bad. Either Avishai or 70,000 people died. And for some reason, the Malach was seen stopping the plague. When David Melech said, I'm willing to sacrifice myself, I'm willing to die myself. It all stopped when he looked at the Malach standing on Har HaMoriah, which was an area owned by Arvana Hayavusi. For whatever reason, here, he's known as Ornan Hayavusi. And we don't know why exactly, but once that happened, once he saw it, he realized, okay, this is the spot that I need to buy. This is the area where the base mitzvah is going to be. So, Parakal Beis Pazuk Aleph says, V'yomer David, Zehu Beis Hashem Elokim. This is where the base mitzvah is going to be. Zeh Mizbeach Le'olah Yisrael. This is the Mizbeach that's going to offer, that's going to bring the Olos up for Bnei Yisrael. Remember, up until now, David Melech was never sure. There is no word in the Torah about where the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be. Nothing. There's no word about a Beis HaMikdash. It's only about a Mishkan. So when he says, I want to build a Beis HaMikdash, it was sort of like a permanent structure that would be an extension of what the Mishkan was. There were no words about it. So they didn't even know where it was. David and Shmuel had already discussed it on the rooftop when they were running away from Shaul HaMelech. And he had Paskin, it's the highest spiritual place in Eretz Israel, but he wasn't sure where it was. Once he saw the Malach stop, and it's crazy, because at this point, David Melech is 68, maybe even 69 years old. He's almost dead. Now he realizes, this is where it's going to be. It's going to be on this area of Arvaniyah Yavusi. That's where it's going to be. Vayomer David. Here David says, Lichnos es agerim asher Eretz Israel. He wanted to gather in all the different strangers that were in Eretz Israel, meaning all the non-Jews, Gerei Toshavim, the people that were not officially Jewish, but were living in Eretz Israel. The Amid Chotzvim Lachtov Avni Gazis, he made them into quarriers. They quarried the Avni Gazis, these were hewn stones, Lifnos Beis Elohim, in order to make a Beis HaMikdash. Barzel L'Rov L'Mismarim, and then there was a ton of iron that he prepared to be used as nails, L'Dalsa Sh'arim, for the doors of the gates, L'Machbaros Heichin, and so too for all the joints, etc. Heichin David prepared all of this in Nechoshes L'Rovei Mishkol. I can't even count how much copper there was altogether. These are the things that he got altogether. Now, iron was a very rare commodity in Eretz Yisrael. There are no iron mines in Eretz Yisrael. Stones, we've got a lot of them. Wood, there was a little bit, not great wood. The wood really came from the cypress trees up in Lebanon. But iron was not a very common one. There was iron there. There definitely was. But they had to import it from other places over there. Normally, we don't use that for the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason why is because iron is used for weapons. We don't want anything in the Beis HaMikdash to be made out of specific iron itself that's there. But they needed iron in order to cut the wood, in order to quarry everything and bring everything together. They weren't able to do it then. Aside from that, knives had to be made out of iron. That would make the most sense, because if you are going to have knives, and remember, they cut up the meat quite often. You have to have cleavers, these massive, massive cleavers. You're cutting up cows, sheep, and goats. In order to do that, you needed these huge cleavers. You definitely needed for that. You also needed pans for baking the lechem upon it. Pans have to be made out of metal, because what else are you going to make pans out of? How is he going to make them? Tongs as well, to be able to pull things out of the fire itself. So the idea behind it was all of that. Nowadays, they do other things. Like, I don't know if you know Chazon Ish sukkahs. Chazon Ish sukkahs are usually made with all wood, complete wood. So what they do is they have wooden pegs instead of nails to be able to get things together. A guy built for me, for my new house, he built a Chazon Ish sukkah. He did it all by connecting wood into other wood joints. And that's all he did. Everything is put together in that way. Right? Iron is considered, iron is considered what they call a maimid, davar maimid, and you shouldn't have a davar maimid for sukkah, right? That's learned out from a pasuk, and it's brought down in sukkah in the second parak, I believe, right? So it's going to be there. But that's that. Regardless, at the end of the day, it could be that Shlomo Melech never used this iron. He might have saved the iron and put it away in whatever it was, but it's possible that Shlomo Melech never used it whatsoever. Those are the people around there. Okay, these are the gerim. He put them all together in order to gather all this stuff together. V'atzei arozim le'ei mispor. Cedarwood, I can't even count. Ke'eviu atzidonim atzorim atzei arozim le'david. The people of Tzidon, as well as Tyre, they brought tons of wood over to David Melech. Vayomer David, Shlomo b'ni nar v'roch. Shlomo, my son, is very young and tender. Remember, he's about 69 years old right now. Shlomo Melech is maybe 11. maybe 11 years old, but David Melech knows he's dying. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be built for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome, and will give a name and splendor for all the other lands. Achina Nolo. I'm going to prepare it all for him now. Most of it was actually prepared before he died. He called Shlomo's son, and he commanded him, this is what you're going to do. You're going to build a Beis HaMikdash. That's what he told him to do. And it's going to be awesome. Okay, there's no need, and we should know this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need any of this. There's no need for us to use gold and silver because we need God to make it, you know, make him like it, etc. That's not the reason why you're building this up. You're building this up because HaKadosh Baruch Hu deserves the best, and it's about us. We should see it as if we're giving the best to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we daven, we have to daven properly. We have to stand up straight, and we have to daven that way, not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at us and we need to look our best when we do it. No, because that's the way it should be when you're talking to a king. When you're talking to a king, you should daven in the most proper fashion possible. You should wear the nicest clothing possible if you could do it. There's no reason to do anything else. But does God need it? No. If a guy davens in shorts and a t-shirt, is his tefillos not heard? Probably not. But maybe. And if they are, it's possible because it's not about God. It's about you. It's about what you want to give over. Okay. Then it says, David HaMelech said to Shlomo, my son, I know it's written as Beno, but it's read as Beni. Ani haya im levavi levenos bayis l'shem Hashem Elokai. I wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yalai, Dvar Hashem Lemor, the word of God was to me, Dom l'rov shepachta, you spilled too much blood. David HaMelech, you're a warrior. David HaMelech, you've killed way too many people. In one war, David HaMelech killed 800 people. You've done that also, right, Ed? Just the other day. I'm talking about it. The Melchama's Gedolos this season. You made these huge wars. Lo Sivna Bais Lashmi. You will not build a Beis HaMikdash for my name. Ki Domim Rav Shavachta Artzolafonai. Because of all the blood that you spilled in front of me. We said there were two reasons for this. Either, number one, that means that the Beis HaMikdash would be extremely powerful to the point where if God needs to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, he'll have to kill people instead and not destroy the Beis HaMikdash because it was made by such a powerful person. Or, number two, there are still wars going on. If you build the Beis HaMikdash right now, there's going to be warring nations. I don't want war when my Beis HaMikdash is up. I don't want my Beis HaMikdash to be used as a fortress. I want it to be used as a holy place. You're going to have a son, Hashem said to David. You will be a man of peace. And I will let him rest from all of his enemies, misaviv, all around. His name will be Solomon. There will be peace and tranquility that I will give to Bnei Yisrael in his days. David Melech is telling this over to his son Shlomo. And he said, this is what God promised me about you. Hu yivna bayis l'shmi. He's going to build a Beis HaMikdash for my name. Hu yali l'bein, and he will be my son. Bani l'av. And I, says Hashem, will be a father for him. Achinosi kisei malchus al Yisrael ad olam. I will make sure that his throne of malchus will last forever. And that's exactly what happened. David HaMelech's kids through Shlomo will end up being through Mashiach. Atobani. Now, my son, may God be with you. You should be matzliach. You should build up a Beis HaMikdash like Hashem said about you. Hashem should also give you seichel and understanding of Yisrael and allow you to be the king over Bnei Yisrael. And you must keep the Torah of Hashem, which was difficult for many of the kings in the future. Only then will you be matzliach. If you keep doing the laws that Hashem had commanded Moshe to do Bnei Yisrael, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid at all. As I've been poor, right? My inadequacy is the wording the article uses over here. I have already prepared 100,000 kikar of gold. That is a huge amount of gold. I have absolutely no idea how to be able to even count that up. A kikar is, what was it, 300 talents each, and a talent is something like, it's something pounds. I forgot how much it is altogether. But this is a huge amount of gold. We're talking billions of dollars that he set up for this. The Kesef Elef Alafim Kikarim, I have 1,000,000 talents of silver. I can't even tell you how much copper and iron. Kilo rovai, there's so much. The Eitz of Avan Mechinosi, I have wood. I have stone prepared. V'aleim Tosif, you should add on to all that. And together with you, there will be an abundance of workmen. Chotzvin, there will be quarriers, right? There will be Chorshe Evan Ba'itz, carpenters of stone and wood. There will be wise men in all different types of work. Gold, silver, copper, iron, no number. Get up and do it. Hashem will be with you. He told all of the Sarim, all of the officers of Bnei Yisrael, may God be with you. That's what he promised them, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with them in everything they do. Lazar l'shem v'lo, they would help him. Hallo Hashem Elokeichem Yimachem v'iniach l'cham yisviv, everything will be peaceful. Kinasim v'yavi yashosh v'aretz, all the inhabitants of the land, they're all going to be tranquil. V'niach v'aretz, and all of the land will be conquered. L'fnei Hashem v'lifnei Amo. Ato, tenu levavchem v'nafshachem, put your heart, I want you to pay attention to this Beis Hamikdash, and put your soul into this. I don't want you to just build a bias. I want you to feel every little bit of this. I want you to be involved in every tiny little detail. I'm going to use a mushel over here, but if anybody knows how Theo Epstein took over the Cubs organization, right? It shows exactly what a person should do when they try to take something over. You want to be a Rosh Hashiva, you can learn from Theo Epstein. He's a Jew, so obviously there's a seichel there, but to look into every single detail and not leave anything out, and to have a 10-year plan of how you're going to improve literally every part of the organization, going from the minor leagues up to the major league team, to go through even the ballpark and taking everything, take out every single stand and make sure what you're putting in makes sense and what you want to do, etc., and going outside. That is a huge undertaking. What David Melech is saying is put your heart and soul into this. This shouldn't just be a job for you where you're getting paid and you're going home afterward. You should want to be there and make this perfect, because it's about you. And when people get into, let's say, a yeshiva or a school or anything like that, and they give their all into it, this is who they are, they want to put everything into it, everything is successful. And you can see it around them because this is who they are. This is what they want. So that's what he's telling them. Then we can bring the Aron Bris Hashem there, Uklei Kodesh, Elokim, and all the Kelim of Hashem, for this Beis HaMikdash, which was built L'Shem Hashem. That's the idea behind it, of everything that he did over here. I think it's kind of obvious in everything over here. When he said, Altira ve'altechas to Shlomo, don't be afraid, he was telling him, don't lose your resolve. There's going to be things that are going to come up, Shlomo, where you're going to be like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to put together all of that money and to be able to do it. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be spending millions, billions of dollars in order to make this space of victory. You're going to think to yourself, maybe it's just a waste of time. Maybe Hashem doesn't want this in the first place. Don't think that way. Don't be afraid of anything. Be secure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not abandon you, even if it seems like things are going wrong. He will be there no matter what. You will carry it through and see it through to the end, even though it's going to take years, 7, 10 years, however long it's going to take. You will live to see it in the end. And David HaMelech tells him, don't be afraid and make it as beautiful as you possibly can. Okay, Perachav Gimel. Perachav Gimel Pasuk Aleph says, V'David Zokain, he was old, V'sova Yomim. That was an interesting little word. Mm-hmm. He was full of days, satiated with his days of self, meaning he was satisfied with the days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. Listen, he only lived to 70 years of life. 70 years is old for back then, but for us, it's not as old as it possibly could be. For us to say we're going to live to 70, we'd say to ourselves, you know what? People live to 70 a much, much longer. I had a Rebbe in Beis who used to write down every day he was over the age of 70. On the top left-hand side of his pages that he would give out, you know, for Mari Mekomos and stuff like that, every day he'd write it. He's now 89. He's been writing it since he was 70 years old. And I remember when he turned 70, it was like a year before I was there, but he would write down a certain number and he kept writing it. It's still there. I took a look at one of his sheets the last time I was in Eretz Yisrael. He's still putting it up there. I forgot what the number was. Something like 12,600. I could probably figure it out if I did the numbers, right? But it was a huge amount, right? And he's writing it down there, right? David HaMelech is Sava Yamim, meaning he knew whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, that's the amount of years that I have to have. And whether it's a lot or a little, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Look at what I was able to do. In my lifetime, I was able to unite the divided nation, which was all in Shaul HaMelech and some by him, etc. I was able to defeat the enemies, lay down the groundwork for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, have a family that obviously had some issues with Avshalom, Amnon, and a couple others, but Adoniyahu as well, but at least that has Shlomo HaMelech in there, and I'm going to establish the dynasty that eventually will culminate in Mashiach itself. Vayamlech as Shlomo Bnei Yisrael, Shlomo HaMelech became king over Bnei Yisrael at that time. Now, he was made king in the days of David HaMelech. Remember, David HaMelech was sick. Nelson and Navi came to visit him along with Bathsheba. They said, you promised. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Shlomo should be king. And he said, yes, in front of everybody, he said, Shlomo is king. And they anointed him in his lifetime, during David's lifetime, because of the argument that Adoniyahu was making, right? They said that he was going to be there. Vayesov, Vayesov, as Kol Sari Yisrael, they gathered together all the officers of Yisrael, Akwanim v'Levim, the Akwanim v'Levim themselves, Vayesafru, HaLevim, Ben Shloshim, Shonav, they counted all the Levim from 30 years and up. Their number by the head, Ligvarim Shloshim Shmona Aleph, there were 38,000 Levium 30 years and up. Not that many. Truth is, the numbers are really weird. I would not have thought there would be so little. It is weird. Maybe this is only Levium from the age of 30 to 50. Maybe that's what we're talking about. But considering the nation grew exponentially and Shevet Levi normally did not fight in war, that's a very small number. That's a number that you would expect to be much, much higher. Either way, Me'il and Atzeach al Malach Beis Hashem, they are going to be in charge of the Malach of the Beis HaMikdosh. Esrim Ba'arba Aleph, there will be 24,000 people altogether. Right? Vishotrim Vishoptim Sheshalafim, and officers and judges, there would be 6,000 altogether. Arbazalafim Shoarin, 4,000 gatekeepers. Arbazalafim Mahalalim al Hashem, 4,000 singers of Hashem. Bakalim Ashrasis la Halil, with the Kalim, with the different the instruments, musical instruments that they had to be able to give over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. So now, whatever this is over here, apparently, 38,000 Levim altogether. Of these, 24,000 were managing and assisting in all the Beis HaMikdash operations, the daily operations. Yeah, obviously, there's a lot going on there, right? They had to cut up the meat. They had to be able to set it up, take the skins, bring stuff out, take the garbage out, bring stuff in, stuff like that. 6,000 acted as judges and marshals. You'd assume that means that there were leaders as well as, you know, officers, policemen in charge of Klal Yisrael. 4,000 gatekeepers, 4,000 musicians altogether. Okay? Now, those were the people, 38,000 altogether. By Achalkim David Machlokos. So David divided them up into Mishmaros, into different divisions. Livnei Levi, Ligershon Kos Merari. For all the children of Levi, for Gershon Kos and Merari. Now, Mishmaros is not an invented thing by David HaMelech. Moshe Rabbeinu made the very first Mishmaros in the times of the Mishkan, and there were always Mishmaros. There were Mishmaros. How many there were probably less. There probably were only 8 Mishmaros in the times of Moshe that increased to 16 in the times of maybe Shmuel and Avi, and now 24 in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's possible. They made it into 24. But they always existed. They always existed. Now we're just going through who these people were. Ligershuni, for Gershuni, for Gershon, were the following. Ladon and Shimi. B'nei Ladon, Harosh, I don't know if that's Harosh isn't a name, but it seems like it's just the chief. Was it Chiel? You have it in the English. In the English, what does he say over there? In Ches, it says the chief?
The chief, yeah.
Okay, I guess we can go with that. Yechiel, Vezesam, Yoel Shlosha. Oh, because it says 3 over here. So it's Yechiel, Zesam, and Yoel. We name our kids Yoel and Yechiel. Zesam didn't make it. That's unfortunate. Well, B'nei Shimi, Shlomit. Interesting, right? You thought Shlomit was a guy's name, right? Shlomit is a girl's name, I'm sorry. Shlomit is a guy's name. I have a cousin, Shlomit. I always told her, you're a guy. That's not the right name, right? But that's how we read it. We read it as Shlomit. By the way, Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a list of something like 80-something names, 87 names throughout Tanakh and Shas that are used as boys' names some places and girls' names in others. Like some of them, you know, like Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Chana is a guy's name, but Chana is also obviously a girl's name, right? Some of them are pretty obvious. And some of them are a little bit, you know, weird. This is one of them, Shlomit. The Chaziel, the Haran, Shlosha Eila Rashi Avos Ladan. Those were the 3 Rashi Avos for Ladan itself. That's B'nei Shimi, right? And that's that. B'nei Shimi, Yachas, Zina, Yush, Ubria, Eila B'nei Shimi, Arba. Those were the sons of Shimi. There were 4 of them all together to be able to make it later on. It could be that this was changed later on by Ezra, but for right now, this is what we have over here. Okay, so now we have a Yachas Arosh, the Ziza Hasheni, the Yushu Bria Lohir Bubanim. They didn't have a lot of kids. Vayula Beis of Lufkuda Achas, they became one position because they didn't have enough children to be able to make up a Mishmor on their own. B'nei Kaos, Amram Yitzor Chavar Nuzio Arba. There were 4 of them. Amram Yitzor Chavar Nuzio. B'nei Amram, Aaron Moshe. We all know about Aaron Moshe. Vayibado Aaron Lachdishu Kodesh Kadoshim, Hu Banavar Elam. Aaron was separated to be Kodesh to Hashem. Him, Kodesh Kedoshim, him and his children forever. Lahakti lufnei Hashem l'shortz l'levarav ishmo, to give haktorah, you know, to burn the incense, to serve and bless in God's name ad olam. Moshe ish Elohim, Moshe was a man of God. Banav yikor al shevet Levi. His children were reckoned as the tribes of Levi themselves. They were not Kohanim. B'nei Moshe, Gershom and Eliezer. Here is one of the most interesting psukim. B'nei Gershom Shvuel arosh. The children of Gershom, Shvuel was the head of all of them. B'nei Eliezer. Children of Eliezer, Rechavya Harosh. Rechavya was in charge. Well, Eliezer, Banim Acherim. He had no other sons. B'nei Rechavya, Rav Lamala. But Rechavya, they increased very, very many. Chazal tell us that there were 600,000 descendants of Rechavya. 600,000. Now, the question is, we don't know how to count that. Are we counting every single child, grandchild, great-great-grandchild, all the way down until today? Is that what we're referring to? Are we referring to that the children of Rechavia were so great, they were equal to 600,000 people, like Moshe Rabbeinu was equal to 600,000 people? Is there something else that we refer to over here that shows how worthy he was over there? We have absolutely no idea. Obviously, there's only 38,000 Levim. There were not 600,000 grandchildren of Moshe Rabbeinu. If there were, their numbers are a little bit off. 600,000 to 38,000 is a little bit off. But apparently there were many, many children. B'nai Yitzhar, Shlomis Harosh, Shlomit, B'nai Chevron, Yiriyahu Harosh. That's an interesting name, isn't it? Yiriyahu is that God will shoot down. That's the name Yiriyahu. Amariya Hasheni, Yachaziel Hashlishim, Yikam Om Haravi. I do not know what Yikam Om, Yakum Am, I guess that the people stand up. B'nai Uziel, Micha Harosh, Yishia. Hasheni. B'nei Merari, Machli Umushi, B'nei Machli, Elazar Akish. Bayomas Elazar Eloi Labanim. Elazar died. Elazar had no kids. Kiyam Banos, only daughters. Vayisa'um B'nei Kish Achayim. B'nei Kish, their brothers, I guess you could say their cousins, right? They married them. They married those girls. B'nei Mushi, Machli, Ve'eder V'yiremus, Shlosha. There were three of them altogether. B'nei Levi, Levi, Savosam. Rashi, Avos, Lepikudayim, according to their numbers. Misfar, Shem, Zagogolosim, according to their names. By the head, Osam, Malacha, Lavodus, Ve'es Hashem. They were doing the Malacha of the Voda of the base of Ben Esrim, Shana, Vamala, from the age of 20 and up. Now, wait a second. Hold on. Didn't we just say it was from
30
and up? Over here, we're saying that's 20 and up. They served in the Beis HaMikdash as, what do you want to call them? Like servants, you know, like learning the trades and doing stuff like that from 20 and up. From 30 and up, they were allowed to be gatekeepers and in charge and whatever it is. They had 10 years of service. What's up?
A question about what we said earlier about David. He wasn't fit to build the Beis HaMikdash because he killed so many people. But we also have a Mashiach ben Yosef who is going to, like, it's kind of what David did. He's going to fight the war and he's going to end up dying, which is...
The question is, hopefully, Mashiach ben Yosef doesn't die, right? But if he does die, in Parshas Korach, the Abir Yaakov, Rabbeinu Yaakov Abuchatzer, the great grand, the grandfather, the Baba Sali, do you know what the Baba Sali is? It's the grandfather of Baba Sali, Rabbeinu Yaakov says, all of Parshas Korach is a tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu that Mashiach ben Yosef shouldn't die. But in that sense, you are correct. Mashiach ben Yosef will not be able to build the Beis HaMikdash unless it is a heavenly Beis HaMikdash that comes down, that is entirely made by the hands of God, and then it's not going to be destroyed anyway, and it's going to be so awesome, nobody will be able to sin. The Ramban says that. The Rambam, big machlokes about what he says in Hilchos Shoftim toward the end, Perek Tes and Yud. At the end of the day, it looks like we can build the Beis HaMikdash on our own, and we're actually supposed to do everything we can to build Kalim to get ourselves ready for it.
Rambam says that?
Rambam, okay. Yeah. But there's a question on what we're supposed to do in order to make that happen. That's why they have, what do they have right by the, in the old city?
They have the menorah.
They have the menorah, and they have other things ready to go, just in case.
But don't most people hold your to do that?
You cannot make anything, you know, to
it's similar to replication.
It unless you're planning on using it for the Beis HaMikdash. And they claim that they're doing it in order to save them for the Beis HaMikdash itself. That's what they claim. The difference is the menorah was not made the way we wanted to. It's not pure gold. It's gold plated. That's awesome, right? But it's not exactly what we're looking for. It's also, I can't believe no one's stolen it yet. I don't know. It's unbelievably expensive. You'd think that somebody would just take it and melt the gold down. It's a lot of, and it's sitting right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have like one little camera there. I mean, I don't know. It's Mission Impossible people should have taken it by now. Okay, let's see what we got over here. So that's 20 and up. Pasuk Kaf Hey, Ki Amar David Iniach Hashem Elokei Yisrael La'amo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted rest to all of his people. Yishkom Yerushalayim La'olam. They're going to live in Yerushalayim forever. It's not them, unfortunately. It's Hashem's Shechina will be in Yerushalayim forever. And it is true. We have Halacha. Kyusha Rishona, Kidusha L'Shaita, the Kidusha L'Asid Lavo. The Kedusha they made for the Beis HaMikdash lasts forever. It will never be taken away. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash anywhere else, and that you can't go onto the site of Har HaBayis unless you are Tahor. I know there are people that are Makel nowadays with certain amounts of Tuma to be able to go up to Har HaBayis itself. It's problematic. There was a big thing around the turn of the century, around the turn of the 20th century in 1900s, right, where every rabbi in Yerushalayim, Rav Shmuel Salant, Rav Pesach Tzvi Frank, Rav Cook, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, they all got together and they said, no one go up there. Maybe not to antagonize the Arabs, but also because we're Tameh. Don't go up an Arba itself. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, pretty much everyone says, because you can step in the wrong part and be chayav
paris. And yet still there are people that go.
Right.
There are definitely people that go. You know, a friend of mine that just said, you don't know what you're talking about. You can't get up there. I'm like, I've read the tshuva. Like, they brought in a whole tshuva.
I know yeshiva who takes their kids up there.
They take their kids up there. I know a guy who goes up there every Erev Pesach and takes a goat, hides it inside his little coat, and tries to shecht it every single year on Har HaBayis. It doesn't work. And he gets in a lot of trouble and usually gets thrown into jail for Pesach. So, you know, I'm sure they serve matzah there. But
there's always next year.
Yeah, there's always next year. I do agree with that. That's the one time, by the way, for the Korban Pesach, you're allowed to be Talmid. That's the one time that everybody agrees you could do it. Maybe the Korban Talmid. It says, Kiyomar Davos, he said that. The Gamla Levim, it says in Pasuk Chavav, Ein lo seis the Mishkan v'skol kilo l'avod asoy. Right there, no longer will they need to carry the Mishkan and all the Kalim for its service. Kividivri David Achronim, Heim Mispar B'nei Levim, Mi Ben Asun Shana Malach. For the counting of the, during the last days of David, or the last words of David Malach, they counted up the B'nei Levim, Ben Asun Shana Malach from 20 years and up. Kima Madun Liyah B'nei Aaron, they would serve right by the side of Aaron, L'avodus Beis Hashem, for the children of Aaron, I guess. For the Avodah of the Beis Mitzvah, L'chatzir, it's all the Lushachis, they were in charge of the Chatzir, they were in charge of the chambers, Altaris of the Kodesh, making sure everything was tahor. Umaisa of Avodas Beis Elokim, and also the deeds that they needed for the Beis Hamikdash. Ulecham Amareches, they also made the lechem upon him. Come on, who made the lechem upon him? Somebody had to bake them, right? Somebody had to be in charge. Never thought about that. Like, yeah, the lechem upon him just formed themselves. But Beis Gormu had to do that with Solis. They had to have the fine flour, the mincha, right, to make the menachos, the kike matzos, and other, the wafers, the lamachavas and morbechas, and all the different types of pans used to make this stuff, the whole misturu amida, for every different measure and size. The lama of a gavoga, they had to get up every morning, l'hodul ha'al Hashem, to thank and to praise God, l'chein la'erev, and also in the evening, they sang every single day, l'chol ha'olos, ha'olos la'Hashem, and over all the burnt offerings that were given to Hashem, l'shabbos, l'chadosh, l'mo'adim, for every Shabbos, every Rosh Chodesh, every Moed, the mispar, they gave according to the number appointed for them. That's what they had to do in order to make sure that everything was going to be proper and everything like that. They had to make sure that all these things were done properly, right? And they did everything that was done that they needed to do. V'shamras v'shamras ol moed. They also kept the mishmar of the ol moed. That meant keeping tamei people out. This is v'shamras hakodesh mishmaras v'nei aron achem la'avodas beis Hashem, for all the avoda of the beis hamikdash itself. Now, there is a bit of a machlokas, which is a little bit interesting. The mishmaros of the Kohanim were definitely based on families. It went family by family by family, and that's how they ended up doing, right, and stuff like that. Now, the Vilna Gaon, the Malbim, says that also, by the Levium, the Mishmaros were by families. Every family at a certain time that they served, and it was a family that served. A family went, and a family did this, and et cetera, and everything like that. Rav Eisenman, who we've mentioned before, he's the one that wrote the art scroll version of Divrei Yamin, the white one that looks like it's a ghetto one, but he actually was a massive, massive Talmud Chacham, Rav Eisenman, and he wrote an unbelievable thing. He says they were not based on families, they were based on skills. Just because you were born into a family, right, that normally were singers, did not mean you were automatically a singer. If you had a frog's voice, right, and you're just getting up there and everybody was like, and you were up there like, right, you didn't automatically become a singer. If you were a weak little weakling, right, that didn't mean you were automatically a gatekeeper. You were a person that you dealt with your skills. If you were a great baker, you became part of the baker mishmar. If you were a great singer, you became part of that. Each one was divided up according to what it was. They all had tasks based on the levy's aptitude. That's the way the revisement mentions it. Ever read The Giver? You remember it? Yeah. Giver? Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, based on that. You remember The Giver, right?
I haven't read it.
You haven't read it?
They didn't do that stuff in Canada.
No, The Giver? It's one of the greatest books of all time. You should read it. It's nice. It's a short book also. It's like 120 pages, I think. You read it?
No.
All right. Oh my gosh. You got it. Okay. Not telling you to waste your time reading it. It's one of the best books ever written. It's amazing. For a kid's book. It's a kid's book. It's a teenager's book. It's not like a whatever it is, but it's really, really good. And the idea behind it is really, really cute. Either way, regardless, the idea is that each person had their skills, and that's what I was taking from there. That everybody has their skills, they decide what you're going to do, and that's what you do in life, and that's everything. That's what they decided for the Levim themselves. Everybody had their own thing of what they had to do. Now, Parakov Dalit. Now we're going to go through the 24 Mishmars of Kohanim themselves. Bit of a kasha why we go through this, but the likelihood is that since in the days of Ezra, the Beis HaMikdash was just destroyed, and they forgot what it was like to have a Beis HaMikdash, it's likely that Ezra put this in so they could all understand why they were doing this and what it was and stuff like that. The Ritva says in Kiddusha, in Tainis, Chavav Amaralf, it is a mitzvah asei midio raisa to make mishmaros for Kohanim. It's an actual mitzvah midio raisa, but it doesn't say how many you need. We already said that originally based there were eight mishmaros based on a pasuk. Well, based on the pesukim that say that they should be shoarim and mishorim, etc. They should be gatekeepers and singers. So therefore, it says it right over there. It's devarim yurches ches. That's what I mentioned over there. Moshe Rabbeinu had eight. Eventually, that became 16, maybe by Shmuel and Avi. Right, eventually it became 24, maybe at the end of his life altogether. Originally, right, because Elazar's mishmaros, Elazar was a lot bigger than Itamar. Itamar ended up having eight mishmaros, and 16 of them were done by Elazar altogether, and that's that. The Rambam also mentioned a mitzvah saseh number 36, right? The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says there is no mitzvah to make these mishmaros. There is no actual mitzvah to do so, but if you do so, it's the right thing to do. So now let's go through it really over here. This is going to be a bunch of names, not so many things other than names over here. B'nei Aaron, we'll see some interesting things. Machlokosim, here's the divisions. B'nei Aaron, Nadav, Abihu, Elazar, and Itamar. We have Nadav, Abihu, Elazar, and Itamar, the four kids of Aaron. B'yamos, Nadav, Abihu. Nadav, Abihu died. Lufnei Avihem, Uvanan, Uvanan, L'hayu, Lahem. They died before their father died, and they never had any children. V'yechanu, Elazar, and Itamar. But Elazar, and Itamar did become Kohanim, and they were regular Kohanim. V'yechal came David. David and Melan split up the Mishmaros into Elazar and Itamar. Vitzadok mi b'nei Elazar, Achimelech mi b'nei Itamar. Tzadok was in charge of all the children of Elazar. Achimelech was in charge of all the children of Itamar. Lifgudasam, Bavodasam, according to their number, in their Avodavim. Matzu b'nei Elazar, Rabin, Lorash, Yagvarim, in b'nei Itamar. The children of Elazar were so many more, according to their heads, from the children of Itamar. Vayachalku, Vayachlikum. Right, the Bnei Elazar, Roshim, Levesavos, Shishasar, 16 came from Elazar. Levene Itamar, Levesavosam, Shmona, and there were 8 Mishmaros given to Itamar. Vayachlakum, Begorlos, Ela, the Ela, Mela. They made lotteries. Who's, how to divide them up, when they were going to work. Now, it makes sense, right? 24 Mishmaros, each one works for 1 week. Every week, they would be subdivided into 6 categories, into 6 Batei Av. 1 Beis Av would work on Sunday, 1 on Monday, 1 on Tuesday, 1 on Wednesday, 1 on Thursday, 1 on Friday, and on Shabbos, everybody worked together. Now, here's the thing. That never changed. You always worked once every 24 weeks, and you always worked on the day that you were set. So if you once worked on a Monday, you always worked on a Monday. Halachically, there is a big halacha that goes with this. Kohanim cannot drink wine, even nowadays, if they may be called to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, because you can't be drunk. So therefore, if you know your Mishmar, if you know what Mishmar you were in, you would know what Mishmar and what Beis Av. You wouldn't know what week, but you know what day you'd be in. So you could say, on Tuesdays I can't drink wine, but on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're getting drunk as a loon, because I know that it worked on Tuesdays. Halachically, we don't paskin that way. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi says we can't do that. We can't do that anymore. But it's a really good call. It's something that the Levim had, right, or the Kohanim had, that they couldn't drink because of the possibility the Beis HaMikdash was going to be built up right now, and that was going to be a problem. So they were divided up into 24. That meant that every single person served twice a year at least. Twice a year at least. If there are 50 weeks in the Hebrew calendar, 54 weeks if there's a leap year, right? 52 weeks in an English calendar, but 50 normally, 54 in a Hebrew calendar year, 54 in an Obrey Yor, etc. That meant you worked once every 24 weeks. There are 48 weeks. You worked twice. On Yom Tov, everybody worked. So you take out 1 week and 1 week. That's 49 and 50. Then you worked twice a year automatically. If you wanted to, you could also work Yom Tov, and you always worked Shabbos as well. Can you imagine, guys? Kohanim, all year long, they have to prepare themselves for a total of what? A total of 16 days of work. 16 days of work. 7 days of Pesach. I should say a little bit more. 7 days of Pesach, 8 days of Sukkot, 1 day of Shavuos. So that's 8 plus 7 plus 1. So that's 16 altogether, right? And then 2 days that they were in their Beis Av. So that's 18 altogether. And then Shabbos on both of those they had to work. So that's 19 and 20. 20 days out of the year, I should say. 20 days out of the year, that's what you worked. And the rest of the year?
It's just living off the fat of the land.
And getting drunk.
Meiser, Carbonos.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, taking food life from other people is always good, right?
Good life.
Always take tzedakah from others. It's the easiest thing to do. Yeah. We're all so good at it. Yeah, yeah, they are. They were complete moochers. They were supposed to be teachers during the rest of the year. The Kohanim and Levim had the job of being teachers throughout Klal Yisrael for the rest of the year. That's what they were supposed to be doing, right? Hopefully they actually did it. So it says, they divide them up and they made them into all this. Now, it says, Dichtevein, Shmaya ben Esan al Sofer. So Shmaya, the scribe, he wrote them all down. Mina Levi Lifnei Melech, right? From the Levium. He was one of the Levium itself. He wrote it in front of the king, Vasarim, and all the officers. Vatsadak, Kohen, Vachimelech, Ben Abiyasov, Rosh, Elvis, Lakwanim, and Levium. He wrote down Sadok and Achimelech. And then he wrote down the heads of the father's tribes, all the Kohanim, and all the Levium, based on Echad. One thing, Echuz, Achuz, Achuz, Li, Samar. Again, one third went to Elazar, two thirds went to Itamar. As we said before, how did they write that again? One extra unit for each, but one unit for one for Itamar. I forgot how to read this exactly. Achuz la Elazar v'achuz. One for Elazar and another one, Achuz la Itamar, and then one just for Itamar, right? Because Itamar only had 8 and he had 16. Okay, let's go a little bit more over here. We don't have that much time. We have a little less than maybe 15 minutes over here. So he wrote everything down over here. Vayetze ha-goro l'rishon l'yoyarit. When they did the goro, when they wrote everything down, the first lottery went to the family known as Yoyarit, Liadaya Hasheni, Lechorim Hashlishi, Lishoirim Haravi, Lamalkia Hamishi, Limiyamin Hashishi, Lahakoitz Hashvi, Laavia Hashmini, Leyeshua Hachi, Lishchanyahu Hasiri, Leel Yashiv Ashteyasor, Liyakim Shneimasor, Lechupa Shloshasor, Liyeshev Yeshev Ov Arbaasor, Lebilga. If anybody remembers the name Bilga, it's at the end of the Masechta of Sukkah. Bilga was Kenas.
Oh, Bilga, fine. Yeah. Bilga was Shila. She intermarried.
There you go. Locus, right? Yeah, she hit the Mizbeach when they destroyed the basement. Very good.
And then she, like, yeah.
That is exactly it. Bilga is the one that they lost, or they put away their key. They were fine.
And there's a whole debate, like, why she was punished.
Well, why was the family punished? Because of one girl doing. Very, very good. Le'imer Shishasor. Le'chazir Shivasor. That word to me sounds like the weirdest. Chazir is extremely close to Chazir. That's a weird word to use when referring to over here, but nunu. Lahapitzeitz shmona asor. Lifsachya tishasor. Lechezgo ha'esrim. That was 20. Liyachin echad v'esrim. Ligamul shnayim v'esrim. Lidlayahu shlosha v'esrim. Lima'azyahu arba v'esrim. Those are the 24 altogether, all 24 that were going around there. That's that. Now, there are name changes that we don't go through over here, right, when it goes through. But eventually, I don't know if we're going to be able to get through everything. We're going to see replacements later on. Elim Gedosan Laborosam, these are the numbers according to their service. Lavod, Beis Hashem, they came to the Beis Mitzvah Commission, according to their judgment. Biyad, Aaron, Aviyam, Aaron, their father, was in charge. Kashi Zivah, Hashem, Lekei Yisrael, like Hashem had commanded. Levnei Levi, Anosrim, and all the children of Levi that remained. Levnei Amram, Shuvael, Levnei Shuvael, Yechidiyahu, Lerachav Yahu, Levnei Rechav Yahu, Arosh, Yeshia, Layitari, Shlomot, we said before, Shlomit. Livnei Shlomot, Yochas, Vinoi, Yiriyahu, Amar Yahu, Asheni, Yachziel, Hashlishi, Yikamam, Haravi. Okay, so those are the children. Bnei Uziel, Micha, Livnei Micha, Shamir, Achimicha, Yeshia, Livnei Yeshia, Zachariahu, Bnei Merari, Machli, Umushi, Bnei Yazyahu, Bino, right? So that's what we say, Bnei Merari, Liazyahu, Bino, Veshom, Vizakar, Ivri, Vamachli, Olazar, Velo, Yelabani, he didn't have any kids, Lachish, Bnei Kish, Rachmael, Bnei Mushi, Machli, Ve'edavi, Rimos, Eilav, and Eilav, Yelav, Yelav, those are all the names according to their father's houses. Vayapilugam, Him, Gorolos, they also made lotteries, right? Lu'umas, Achayim, Bnei Aaron, opposite their brothers, Bnei Aaron, Lifnei, David, and Melech, in front of David, and Melech, Vitzadok, Vachimelech, and Tzadok, and Achimelech, Varosha, Avos, Lachuan, Vallavim, Avos, Arosh, Lu'umas, Achiva, Katon. The major families, along with the younger brothers as well, everybody went together. Now, the cool thing is, every Levi had 24 mishmaros, just like the Kohanim had 24 mishmaros. They always met the same mishmar. It wasn't off by one or anything like that. Meaning, we just said that Yoyariv was the very first one. He served first. There was a family of Levium that also served first opposite Yoyariv. And your base Av in Shevet Levi was the same as the base Av in Kohen, meaning you served one day out of those. And it was always the same day. It never switched. You knew what day it was. It was either Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. So you always worked with the same Kohanim year after year after year. Now, obviously, that's a problem if you get into fights with them quite often, right? But otherwise, it makes things a lot easier. You're used to that guy. Like, let's say, are you a Kohen?
No.
You're not. Okay, but all right, let's say you were Kohen, right? So I would work with you. And I would always know you're going to be working on that Tuesday of that week. I know you're going to be there. So we'll work together. and we're going to make sure that we're always going to be together. And every single time, it would always be the exact same families working together at the exact same time, which definitely made it easier for the people around there. And that is that. That's the end of Parakov Dalit. Okay, there are some mishmaros that were replaced. Unfortunately, when Ezra came back, we already talked about in Ezra and Nehemiah that some mishmaros never came back at all. They were fined and taken out completely, and they split it up into four mishmaros and then subdivided them into another 24 groups, etc. But that's what happened. Vayavdil David. So David HaMelech then separated, right? He separated. Vesariah Tzavah, La'avoda, right? He separated along with the officers, whatever it is. They took Libnei Asaf, the Haman, the Yedusun, the children of Asaf, Haman, and Yedusun, Hanib'im, B'chinoz, B'nevolim, U'bin Tzoltoyim. They were the ones who made music and prophesied. Now, I don't know if this is real prophecy, but it's just meant they sang together on harps and guitars and cymbals. Right, I know there's other words that they say over here. Liars is usually what they do. Their number, in accordance with the number of workmen that they needed for their service, for the people of Asaf, the children of Asaf over here, was a tremendous singer. Zakur, Yosef, and Asaniyav, Asar Ela, Bnei Asaf, those are the children of Asaf. Yad Asaf, Hanibal, Yidei HaMelech, he was the one who served with the king itself. Liadusim, Bnei Yadusim, Gidal Yahu, Utsri, Vishayahu, Chashav Yahu, Matis Yahu, Shisha. Did I mess that up? Kidal Yahu, Tzri, Yishayahu, Chashav Yahu, Matis Yahu, Shisha, Ayidei Avim, together with their father. Wait, is that, did I just mess up the number over here? Oh, here we go. There was a sixth one whose name was Shimi, right? He was a leader. I guess Shimi was not born yet. His mom was pregnant, so he's not counted over here, or maybe he was underage at the time of the count. But there's six of them all together, Ayidei Avim, Yedusim, Bakinor. He taught them how to play the lyre. Haniba al Hodis Vahal Hashem, right? And when they gave thanks and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the first one, Asaf, praised the king. He used to sing songs about the king. Yedusun used to sing praises about HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And then it says, Lahaman, Bnei Haman, Bukiyahu, Matanyahu, Uziel, Shmuel, Virimus, Hanania, Hanani, Eliasa, Gidalti, Romamti, Ezer, Yashbekasha, Malosi, Hosir, Machazios. Crazy names. Kol Ela, Banim, Lahaman. All these were Haman's kids. That's a lot of kids. How many was that? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Man, it's like a Rebbe in Tells. That's amazing. That's 15 kids right there. That's absolutely amazing. Right, these were the king seers for the words of God, in order to exalt the prestige of David HaVeitan, Elokim Lehaman, Banim Arba Asor. He gave him 14 sons, Ubanu Shlosh, and three daughters. Did we just mess that up? I thought I counted 15. Oh, Romamti Ezer is one name. Romamti Ezer is one name. So there are 14 sons and three daughters. Baruch Hashem. That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. Okay. What's the purpose of music in the Beis HaMikdash? Why in the world did they need this? I mean, obviously, right, it's something that's cute and it does help and whatever it is, but did they really need it? Like, do you really need to have music playing in the Beis HaMikdash itself? And the answer is yes. Although we don't fully get it, there's an idea of simcha v'tuv levav, that the way that we should do things is always with simcha and tuv levav. The way to recognize that and to do that is through the power of music. And although nowadays we don't really get it, because a lot of the songs out there, especially in English songs and non-Jewish songs, I'm not bragging here. I don't want to say I've defeated my type of non-Jewish music, but that's not a challenge for me anymore. That's not something there. And I don't want to open my mouth, I'll tiftach piv l'satan. That's not really, I don't listen to music that's out there anymore. I'll listen to like Shwaki, even though I know it's not that good, but I'll listen to it because at least it's there. But that's not my challenge anymore. When it comes to songs, if the songs are about like love lost or like sadness or whatever it is, and it's supposed to make you feel something. And maybe they are, maybe they aren't. It depends on what the music is and whatever it is. And some of them are just garbage, like the Disney songs are just garbage. It's just like subliminal messaging to try to get the kids to buy more toys. But there's nothing really. But real music is supposed to get into your soul and make you feel something, the way they think that Mozart and Beethoven and Bach music are able to make a child smarter if you play it for them in the womb itself, in the womb, or when the child is, what's it called, in a crib, etc. It's possible, but music has a power, even without words, that it can ripen thoughts in a person's head and allow a person to think of something. When David HaMelech was writing these songs, together with Asaph, Yedusun, and Haman, who are mentioned in Tehillim, they are three of the composers of Tehillim. David HaMelech perfected them and put them into the Tehillim that we have, but these were for sure authors within Tehillim itself. When he was putting them in, there was a beauty within these songs, awesomeness within the songs that taught them what to do. That awesomeness was articulated by their singing in the Beis Hamikdash, bringing people up, allowing them to become even greater and greater and greater. A very, very, very awesome thing that would happen over here. Asaph was taught by David how to prepare himself for prophecy. That's why it says, Haniba al Yidei HaMelech. He became a Navi through the king. David HaMelech was able to show him exactly what it was and what it was over there. Yedusun trained his sons in the message of whatever this kinor was, whether it was a harp or whatever. I don't know what exactly it was, but it's that. It could be he was the musician par excellence. And you notice it says, Lam Natzeach al Yedusun. Sometimes you translate that as Yedusun. Sometimes it's translated as a musical instrument. It could be Yedusun was such an expert, he made a musical instrument and it was called after his name. So it's Lamentzeach HaYedusun. It's literally on the Yedusun, which was a musical instrument made by Yedusun itself. That's definitely a possibility. That's how awesome he was. All of them were unbelievable people of what they were doing. Each one of them did tremendous, tremendous things. Kol Elal Yidei Avihem Bashir. All of these were under the auspices of their father. Yedusun, Asaph, and what's called Haman taught their kids what to do in the Singing Beis Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash B'Metzel Tayim Nevolim V'Chinoros when it came to the cymbals, lyres, and the harps. L'Avodos Beis Elokim Yidei HaMelech for the Avod of the Beis HaMikdash through the king itself. And they went all the way through. They went everything right over there. Now, Asaph, Yedusun, Haman. They are Asaph, Yedusun, and Haman themselves. The number with all the brothers of this year who knew how to sing Lashem, there were 288 altogether that sang. They didn't all work every day. You didn't have 288 people singing every day. That would ruin their voices. So they also had to be divided up into different mishmaros so that everybody would have a certain, you know, a certain thing that they would be able to do when they would sing together at certain areas. But that's the idea of what they had to do all together. So who are they? Vayetzal Gorla Rishon La'Asaph. Li'Yosef Gidalia, right? It fell upon Asaph. Yosef Gidalyahu Asheni. Hu Ve'achav U'banav Shnei Masor. There were 12 of them all together. Ashlishi Zakur Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. Harvi Li'Yitzri Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. Hachamishi Nisanyahu Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. Ashishi B'Kuyahu Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. Ashvi Yisar'ela Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. Hashmini Yishayahu Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. Hashi Matanyahu Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. Ve'achav Shnei Masor. Ha'asiri Shimi Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. Asher Asar Azarel Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. What else do we have over here? Lishloisha Asor Shuva El Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. La'arba Asor Matityahu Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. La'chamisha Asor L'Ramos Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. L'shisha Asor L'Chananyahu Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. L'shiva Asor L'yash Bekasha Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. Shmona Asor L'Chanani Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. L'tisha Asor L'Malosi Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. L'esrim V'Yasa Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. L'achav Esrim L'Hoser Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. L'shnei V'Esrim L'Gidatu Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. L'shlosh V'Esrim L'Achazios Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. L'arba V'Esrim L'Romamti Azer Banav Ve'achav Shnei Masor. So those were the 24 altogether they were able to count up that they were able to do together. Each one was able, again, they were paired up with certain people. So the Kohanim also, and those Levim that served, etc., they always were together at all times. They always heard the same songs and went all the way through when it came down to all this. The reason why it's written in song version over here, like Uz Yashir, well, sort of like Uz Yashir, this is really like the children of Haman, right, is because it's showing you the power of song. There are Shiros, and these two, these were very, very many great people in their shir itself. Each one of them, 12 altogether. If you count this all up, by the way, 24 times 12 is what altogether? 24 times 10 is 240, and then 24, so that's 264. Does that make sense? How many do we say? 288. So why am I off by that? That's another 24. Oh, is there 13? Oh, no, it's obvious. I'm sorry. It's 12 plus the extra one, the person, Zakur, etc. So it's 13 times 24. So 24 times 10 is altogether 240 plus 24, 48 plus 24, right, altogether. So what do you have? 12, 8, 9, 10, 11, carry the 1, 312. That makes no sense. Did I just mess that up? 24 times 13. Let's do that. 12. Yeah, it's 312. Why are there 288? 212 minus 288 is what? That's 24. Oh. So wait. 24 times 12. 8, 4, 0, 4, 288. 288. Oh, so that's why. I just messed up in my count. Okay. So it's 288 altogether. Oh, because 24 plus 24 is 48. That's why. Always remember to carry the 8. Yeah, 48 plus 240. Anyway, so altogether it's 288. That's where they got it from. So it's 12 altogether.
Did they learn how to sing it from Moshe? Or the importance of it?
I don't think so. I'm sure they had it as time went on. Somebody must have taught them the power of song. But I don't know who it was, and I don't know when it happened. Probably there was somebody who really, really was an expert in song that at some point in the Mishkan, they taught everybody what to do. I don't know what they sang, though. What did they sing in the Mishkan before the Beis HaMikdash, before David HaMelech had his songs? Maybe Moshe had a song or two. Maybe people created songs. But we lost all of them as time went on. I have absolutely no idea. All right, I don't know if we're going to be able to finish this. We have 4 minutes left. It's a short parak, but we'll be able to do some of them, I guess. Let's go a little bit over here. It's mostly names, so we'll go Lamachavus L'Shoarin, right, for the gatekeepers over here. So we have Lakorchem for the people of Korach, Meshalam Yahu ben Kore, right? You have Meshalam ben Kore ben Bnei Asaf, Ulam Meshalam Yahu Banim Zechariyoah B'chor Yediayel HaSheni Zvad Yoah Shlishi Yasniel Harviya Elam HaKamish Yohanan Hashish El Yoho Einai. Hashvi, that's an awesome name. Ulo Ovid Edom Banim, Ovid Edom had children. Shmaya Bechor Yo Zavad Hasheni Yoach Hashlishi Vasachar Revi, Onesan Al Chamishi, Amiel Hashishi Yisachar Hashvi, Pulasi Hashmini, Kiver Kolohim. God blessed him. Now, if you remember, Ovid Edom is the one where the Aron Kodesh was brought to after they were trying to bring it, and Peretz and what's his name? Touched it, Peretz and Uzzah put their hands out, and one of them died, right, when that happened. So they brought it over to Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom treated the Aaron with such respect. He was Zoche. He already had 8 boys who were all married. Every single one of his 8 boys gave birth to 8 boys. 6 boys. 6 boys each. They all had 6 boys each, and he had another 6 boys. So 8 times 6 is 48, plus the 8 boys is 56, plus another 8 boys that he had. Is that 64. So he had 64 kids directly in his family, something like that. I forgot exactly how it goes. But either way, but that's the amount of people that he had. Oh, and he says over here, B'nei Shemaya, Osni, Rafael, V'Oyber, Zavad, Achiv, Echo, B'nei Chayo, Elius, Machio, Kolim, B'nei Ovid, Edom, Hebo, B'nei Vachem, Ish, Chayo, Bakoch, Lavoda, Shishim, Mushnaim, Ovid, Edom. There were 62. Ugh, I don't want to talk about this. I just got to figure it out. Dang it. Oh, I said 64. No, I got it. Because he didn't have another 8 kids. He had another 6 kids. All of his 8 sons had 6. Right? So that's 48. Then he had 8. So that's 56. And then he had another 6 kids. 62. Oh, Baruch Hashem. My math is just tremendous tonight. There were another 18 of Misham Yahu. He wasn't a Bechor, but his father made him in charge because of all the people that were around. Okay. Those are the divisions of the gatekeepers of Rashi Agavarim Mishmaros. Umas Achem, they were opposite their brothers, Lashar's base Hashem, to serve in the base of Yapilu Gorolos. They got according to their gates. The one in the east. Now, when it came to the gates, they had one spot to guard, and that's what they did. They did not move around and have different places. They went in different places. There were 6 spots in the east, 4 spots in the north, 4 spots in the south, 6 spots in the west. East and west, obviously, were a little bit longer, right? 4 spots were in the place called the Beis HaSufim. So we're going to see that over there as well. So it says, he went out to the north. Well, Ovid Edom Negba to the south. His children had the Beis HaSupim. Leshupim Lamarve in the west, Imshar Shaleches, along with the gate of the Shaleches, Bamasila Oilo, and the path that leads up to the Beis Midrash, Mishmar Lumas Mishmar, one opposite the other one. Mizrach Alavim, Shisha Lotzafona, Layom, Arba Lenegba, four to the south, Layom, Arba, right, each one per day. La Supim Shnaim Shnaim, they had 2-2. La Parbor, Lamarav, there was Parbor in the west. Arba, there were 4 of them, Lasil Shnaim, La Parbar. Ela Machlokos HaShoarim, those were the divisions of the gatekeeping leader, Korch, Levin, and Merari. Valavim Achia, Ala Oitzos, Beis Elkim. Now, for the rest of the Levim, Achia was in charge of the storage houses of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Ula Oitzos and Kadashim, as well as the storage houses of the Kadashim. Because somebody had to be in charge of all that stuff. Somebody had to do all those types of things. And I think we're going to have to stop with that. Okay, now we're going to mention the Bnei Ladan who are going to be in charge of all that. Let's actually stop with Pasuk Chaf. We'll start with Pasuk Chaf for next time over here. Okay.